The lights are on red. We're away.
Hello, and welcome to MotoGPOD, the internet radio show about motorcycle road racing. Today is Friday, July 17th, 2009. This is episode number 186, and I am Bob Hayes, your host, here today, as always, to talk about all kinds of cool motorcycle racing stuff. So, we got a kind of a quick show today, because Jules and I did a call. It was a fairly interesting call that we did about the Sachsenring, which we're coming up this weekend on Sachsenring. Before we get to that, I do have to send a big shout out. Thank you to Michael Farrow, who was kind enough to donate to the MotoGPOD cause and, help pay for the bandwidth and the hosting and all the stuff, the bills that you collect with a podcast. And so thank you very, very much, Michael. Other than that, I'm going to tell you that this call Jules and I did on Wednesday night, and I normally do the editing of the calls on Thursday night. And I've been trying to get through it, but it's now getting later and later and later. And I keep getting a lot of phone calls because I'm going to go and tell you guys, as my friends out there in podcast land, because pretty much are sort of like my friends, I made chief petty officer in the Navy. So I'm not yet a chief. I can't say that. Excuse me. I am a chief select. So I have been selected to be a chief petty officer. And I've got 2 months of hard work ahead of me, and then in September, hopefully, assuming that I pass the whole procedure, they will pin the chief's anchors on me, and I'll be a chief petty officer in the United States Navy. So I have to admit, despite my cynicism and bitterness about the Navy and things in general, I do feel a little bit of pride going on, but it's also taking away a lot of time. Like I said, the phone's just been ringing off the hook. I've been trying to get the podcast done, and it's like, oh God, another phone call, another email, whatever. So I was going to also do a review of an excellent Axio product, but that's just not going to happen tonight. So what we'll do is we're going to do that next week. I've got a cool review about an Axio bag that I think you'll like a lot. For tonight, why don't we go ahead and jump in with a call with Jules, and we'll talk to you soon. All right, got Jules on the phone. How you doing today, Jules?
I'm doing good. Hot today. I heard you had a hot weather as well. I think it's been hot pretty much everywhere.
Yeah,
this week.
Global warming. It's supposed to be hot tomorrow.
Summer.
Too shocking.
It's called summer.
I know, but we had such a nice run of weather up here where it was like how I like it, where it was, I don't know, 75 degrees or something like that. Nice, beautiful weather, you know?
Right, right.
And then it was 91 today, and it's just like, you know, that's too hot.
Yeah. Well, that's when you got your bike, you know, and you got air conditioning.
Yeah, yeah, 260 air. Well, or no 60 air, I guess, on a bike, but yeah. So, well, all right. What do we got coming up this weekend? We have a race in a faraway place. And yes, indeed. Der Sachsenring. Race.
Thank you. I was going to say.
I had to throw it out there. Yeah, I couldn't not do it, right? That was actually a half-hearted attempt at it, too, but oh well. See, now that I think about it and stuff, I can't do it anymore. Martin ruined it for me because I didn't even realize I said it that often, but apparently it's one of those take a drink when Bob says Der Sachsenring. Right. And in any case, we're going to be racing there. And should be some interesting stuff. Bad news. Real quick, why don't we jump into the Sete thing?
Good and bad, I guess. But yeah, bad for Sete.
Bad for Sete, yeah. I mean,
so basically, the team pulled out, citing the usual financial woes. And it makes sense because they're a construction company.
Right.
And obviously, not a lot of construction going on with the housing crunch. You know, it's like part of me is really relieved because it was kind of churning my stomach. Like
you had problems with the sponsorship and the connections and stuff. Yes. Yeah, I understand.
The connections are with, you know, a dictator of Equatorial Guinea. You know, I think this is the last time that we got to see Sete. And it was really cool that he was at the Day of the Stars because, you know, a lot of people got autographs from Sete, and now they can hold on to those things and say that was the last time that he actually raced.
Right. Right. And it was good. I mean, that was as close as I've seen Sete, you know. I guess I've seen him walk through the paddock before. But I mean, where, you know, he's there and stuff. You actually talked to him too, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. He seemed incredibly relaxed. Like the last few times that I've seen him, you know, at the GPs. It was just like, you know, he was running through and he'd pose for a photograph or sign an autograph or something. But this time he was walking around and just chill, you know.
Kind of a different agenda going on. I mean, there's, yeah, you know, I think no chance whatsoever of the championship. Just go out there and do a good showing and this and that. And so, you know, and maybe that was had something to do with it.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is that we have to remember, Cedric Gibernau is arguably the second best rider of the decade.
Of the 990 era.
Well, he certainly was of the 990 era. But, you know, so we had one champion, Nicky Hayden, in the 990s, other than Rossi. And we had Stoner open up the 800s. Like old school actual racing, you know, tire to tire, toe to toe. That was really the last time we had that such competition until this year with Lorenzo. So, I keep dismissing Stoner. I'm really sorry to all the Stoner fans because it's just hard for me to put him at the same level that I hold Sete in. On the other hand, you know, Sete was a drama queen. It is a drama queen. And I think there was a bunch of races where he basically knocked the chess pieces off the chessboard and gave up, which Stoner would never do. Stoner is much more of a fighter, I think, and he's also younger and had a lot more energy. Obviously, there's some issues right now, but
of a professional, if you will. I mean, maybe not saying Sete's exactly not a professional, but that Sete did do that. But also the drama and the Sete's girlfriends and all of that stuff lent that sort of air beyond racing to MotoGP. You know what I mean?
Yes.
The guys like Sete and Max, they bring something else up to the party,
right,
besides just, you know, being excellent racers and stuff. That is interesting if you're a fan and you want to sort of, you know, do that.
Yep.
And
So we obviously we talked about him a great deal before the season started when it was announced that he was coming back, and we were both very excited. I think a lot of people were very excited that he was back. But I do think this is it. I mean, I just don't see him coming back at this point.
Probably
and, you
not.
Know, he basically was just as surprised as anyone else outside of that circle, because he basically got the news the same time that the PR release came out.
Yeah.
So that's a real bummer.
Yeah, that's always good to, you know, read about the fact that you no longer have a job, you know, in a press release somewhere.
Right.
Like a soup slogan, you know, where writers go to find out they've been sacked.
Right, exactly.
But so long, Sete. It's been real. It's been fun.
I'm not going to miss Francisco Hernando, though, and I'm going to give a shout out to Abel Cruz Ayuso and Liam Schubert, who posted some YouTube videos on. I think on Facebook somewhere I put a link to the MotoGP Matters article, and it just generated a shitload of comments. And one of them had YouTube videos of Francisco Hernando, and so I think we should put that in the show notes, because it's really interesting to see what kind of person was running that whole show.
I will. I'll have to take a look at him. I haven't seen him, so got to hand it to the guy. Came up from, he's built a business empire from nothing.
Yeah,
But, yes.
You're using tactics that, you know, they are just not cool.
Sometimes that tends to happen.
And obviously, he has no... like moral boundaries in terms of who he deals with in order to get where he is. So who knows, you know, who he stepped on and whatever. Anyway, enough about Francisco Hernando.
The boring business side of MotoGP.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Moving on. Farewell. Let's talk about Marlboro next.
To Sete, because that's a bummer.
I know, it is a bummer. But it's also, it's a big bummer that means there's one less team and one less bike on the grid.
Yes. So now, what's the deal with this 18 bike thing that we talked about earlier? Is, you know, I wonder if there's. I mean,
I see so many sort of side notes and little small comments about things like, oh well, now it'll only be half points because it's not really a a Grand Prix race. It's only a cup race and,
right.
and all these things. And I still haven't seen that documented in the rules anywhere. Now, it might be documented in contracts and things like that, like right. we discussed.
Right.
But they don't tend to post those on the FIM website.
No.
So, although it'd be very interesting if they did. but they, yeah, so it's hard to say. And going through the numbers, I mean, realistically, although there was some other news on the Takahashi, or did we talk about it last week too?
Well, we talked about Takahashi
but did
before.
We, and then nothing else came after?
Well, there was this incredibly interesting statistic that came out. This is off of Soup, which is that, and I'll just read it word for word, that according to Dr. Martin Raines, the official statistician of MotoGP, I wonder if that's the guy who writes that little orange book, that breaks so basically Takahashi not being in the championship breaks a streak of 271 races with a Japanese racer entered in the premier class going back to the final event of 1991.
Oh, wow.
So that's a really long time. That's almost two decades of racing, and this is the first time we're going to have a Japanese rider.
Right. And it is interesting that Honda sort of let it happen. I don't know, I'm sure I read a story after the thing, but maybe my memory is failing me. But basically where Honda was saying that, you know, no, it wasn't us. You know, if they'd given us the money, we'd have done the bikes, and it boils down to that. But Mike, it's like kind of like, well, a little surprised that Honda didn't, you know, somewhat step up to the plate.
Yeah.
And I think we hashed over this last show. Now, when Callio comes back, we'll have, we'll be at 18
bikes.
Again, right?
No.
What's that? No, we'll be at 17 still. Yeah.
17.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if that what that means. And then of course, Kropotkin dropped a bombshell just today, which was that you know there's and he doesn't quote any sources, so it's one of those like hearsay things. But you know the Pacini replacing Canepa story. Have you heard
we
that
do
one?
Love. We love hearsay. We thrive on it here. I read that in a side somewhere, and it's completely slipped my mind now.
Yeah, Pacini replacing Canepa, basically. So you know, Pacini's team, Team Toth, in the 250s is having really serious issues with the dollars. Like you know, the bikes were kind of parked for a while, and weren't they like in arrears with some payments or something?
I believe so. Yeah, I mean a lot of these teams are on the ragged edge.
Yeah,
and I know there's been some issues.
So, and you know, Pacini is a very talented rider, and Canepa is was kind of being prepared to be the next, you know, Ducati rider, very young, very promising, but. You know, he has a super sport championship, I believe. Oh, sorry, it's super stock. And, but he's just not producing in MotoGP.
No.
He's just really not producing in MotoGP. I mean, Gabor Tamashii, I am certain that Gabor Tamashii would have beaten Canepa at Laguna Seca already. You know, second time out on a MotoGP bike.
Third. But yes, I agree.
Is it third?
I thought so, isn't it? Yeah. But whatever.
Yeah, that's right, because they... Yeah.
Catalonia, Netherlands. But in any case, it's still significant. Sorry, yeah. Didn't mean to, you know. I agree wholeheartedly on that one. Had Tomasi not had a small off, if you will... That he would have probably beaten Canepa because Canepa was so far behind.
He almost got lapped. Yeah, which would have been amazing. I don't think.
And that's bad in MotoGP, you know,
especially with a grid this small. You know,
right? Exactly. Even at a track as short as Laguna.
Yeah.
You know, there's no. That's not good.
Yeah. You don't see that.
No. Never. So that would be interesting to have Pacini come up as from the 250s because I don't know. How do you think he would do? I mean,
well, that's the thing is like he'd be coming into the you know the crusher, the mangler, the the career waste, you know, the destroyer machine. But, you know, eventually someone is going to show up who's going to go, aha, I got it. I figured it out. You know,
right.
It's not like Stoner is the only person who's ever going to figure out the Desmos Adichie. You know, we had, in the 990s, we had Caparossi, who had no problems winning races with that thing, and Bayless, who was totally struggling. And then, you know, and then all of a sudden he figured it out and got a podium, and then came back as a wild card rider and won that incredible race in Valencia. I mean, people,
right?
You know, things change. The machine's going to get better, easier to ride with the input of all these new riders, and eventually somebody's going to get it. I'm not sure if Pacini is necessarily the one, but you know, he's joining a very illustrious group of people who have failed on this motorcycle, and you know, he may be the one that finally joins Stoner as one who actually beats it. I was looking through the stats and you know, points wise, I think Barros was the second best on the Desmos Adichie, but Caparossi was of course on the 800 Desmos Adichie, and then it was Barros and Elias. Because Elias last year had two podiums, and then but the rest of the guys, I mean, they finished out of the top 10. So I think Nicky Hayden is the next guy, you know, up there, and he's been struggling. So this bike is a killer.
Yeah, that would be actually a super interesting little graph or spreadsheet or whatever to see of that. That's kind of interesting that you know the previous year's points of you know who has mastered the Mangler, if you will, or who has seriously been spanked by it.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that it's very easy to say who has been spanked, which is everybody except Stoner.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just how badly spanked were they.
Exactly.
All right, so let's see. What else should we talk about before we like talk about the race itself? MotoGP.com ran a story about the future of their broadcast, and actually at Laguna Seca, our buddy Jay Rates, no, you know, he mentioned that he saw some interesting looking cameras with like double lenses and I mean double barrels on them and stuff and was wondering whether they were shooting in 3D, and I was like, eh, I doubt it. But sure enough, they are shooting in 3D. So good eye there, Jay. And that's really interesting because I wonder what they're going to do with that kind of footage. Obviously, they're not going to show 3D footage on TV. You know, it's not like we're ready for that kind
of technology. Does it work? Yeah,
technology. I mean, unless they do blue red, which would be silly. And, you know, I think Liam said, well, maybe they're modeling, maybe they're preparing, you know, modeling for the games, you know, because that's a big part of the franchise is the computer games and the console games. And they,
that's, you know, a good call.
Yeah. And then, so they, you know, the, both the track, I mean, they do the bikes in 3D by, you know, putting cameras all over the, around the bike and stuff like that. But tracks are much harder, so maybe they're doing that on the track. But what I'm thinking would be also really cool would be if they actually had some kind of like, you know, MotoGP IMAX experience or something like that, where you go in, put on your glasses, and just get, you know, like some crazy footage on board the bikes, maybe, and from obviously around the tracks and stuff like that, going down the corkscrew at 100 and whatever miles an hour that they do it at. In 3D, so that'd be kind of cool.
That would be extremely cool, but not to rain on your parade, but does IMAX have a lot of like penetration going on outside the United States?
Well, it doesn't have to be IMAX. I mean, there's a lot of 3D. I mean, there's movies being released in 3D all the time now.
Okay. Yeah, I was just thinking that big screen sort of experience, IMAX-y thing, but yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so they don't mention what they're going to do with it necessarily. They're just working on a demo, so, you know, we'll see what happens. I just found that pretty interesting.
It is interesting, and you being a camera guy also would be sort of doubly interesting.
Yeah. So let's talk about Stoner now, because there's been a diagnosis finally, and the diagnosis is slight gastritis and mild anemia. Gastritis would explain the stomach ailments, and anemia would explain the lack of energy.
Yes.
And the two actually do have, you know, possibilities of being tied to the same issue, you know, like low iron, whatever. Yeah, but the thing is, you know, that's what the press release said, and they're now actually treating him for it. I'm still standing by my theory that it's stress related, and
gastric ailments
obviously is totally stress related.
Stress can affect you in such funny ways that if you're not eating right and stuff like that, although he's probably got people that are helping him eat right.
Yeah, that was actually interesting comment on Kropotkin's site where I think actually it was David Emmett who said it's interesting because he's Australian, so he was raised in Vegemite, which doesn't have B12, and and I was like, that's a very interesting comment, but this is an athlete, and I'm sure he's had a trainer since he was probably before he was a teenager. Because he's been racing for so long. He's been racing since he was 7. He probably has had a real trainer long before that. And I doubt the trainer was keeping him a Vegemite. So.
Vegemite sandwiches, sure thing. Yeah. I'd like documentation that Vegemite does not have B12. I'm not sure if it does or not.
No, I think there was actually quite a thread that developed the Kiwis and their Melanite or whatever the hell they call it. And the Aussies with their Vegemite, they were going back and forth. It's pretty funny. But the thing is that, if this really is in fact the deal, both these conditions are treatable, which is great news. I have this really nagging feeling that we're going to see Stoner walk away from the series in a Crevier-like fashion.
I hope you're wrong, but
I really hope I'm wrong. In fact, I should probably just stop talking about it that way. I just kind of wanted to. The gastritis would definitely be stress related if it was a stress thing. So obviously,
Yeah, but also it's why. I mean, the gastritis. That's a long time to come up with a diagnosis of just gastritis.
It is. That's why it's like I'm glad they've got something, and I'm glad that they think they have a treatment, and let's see what happens. I'm not going to speculate too much more, but I did want to just mention one more thing, which is that. In most anxiety disorders, you end up with hyperventilation and breathing issues, and that is like such an unbelievable energy drain right there.
Yeah,
just saying, like it can also be explained just again because the guy's stressed. So
yeah, I'm not 100% sure where I should come in on that, so I just went with. Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah.
Well, let's see what happens in Germany. He's not going to be 100% fit in Germany, but we'll see. I mean, he's still finishing races way up there.
Yes.
He's on a bike that nobody else can figure out. He's under the weather in some way or another, in a really severe way for a motorcycle racer because he's out of energy halfway through the race and he still finishes up there. The guy's a freaking, machine, amazing. Machine in a good way.
Yes.
Amazing willpower.
A professional.
Endurance. A true professional, yeah. So,
yeah.
Absolutely, let's hope for the best and let's hope that all that stuff gets cleared up and we can just go on with him racing.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. So, all right. Let's see. Anything else you got that popped up on the radar, or should we talk a little bit about what's going to happen at the Saxon Ring? Let's talk about the Saxon Ring. You think it's going to rain? Probably not. It was actually later in the year last year, wasn't it? Because
earlier. It was before Laguna last year. Because remember,
but it was it was
right. I mean
they the whole schedule has changed so much this year.
Yeah, exactly. Like traditionally Dunnington and
is before
and,
right
and Saxon Ring were between Assen and Laguna. And this was now was Assen Laguna,
right?
And then because Laguna got moved way forward,
but also the Saxon Ring was Germany was round 10 last year. And Laguna was around 11.
That's right.
And we've only gone through 8 rounds so far this year.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
everything is all shuffled up. They've sort of evened out the season.
I think they were making room for the
Hungarian
ring, and obviously that didn't work out. So let's see. So last year we had a horrible rainstorm plus the Michelin debacle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it was like the beginning of the Michelin downfall, which actually brought about the single tire rule.
So, right. Because they got three in a row wrong, because Le Mans was also a problem too, wasn't it? Or was it Germany?
It was Assen, Germany, and then... No, sorry, it was Germany was when it started, then Laguna...
And then Czechoslovakia.
And then Czechoslovakia, exactly.
You're right. It was three in a row that they tanked.
Czechoslovakia was the nail, because they actually had a whole month to actually figure out what the hell was going on, and they still screwed up.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Which was amazing. Yeah. So, yeah. But, you know, that's all removed from the mix this year. We don't seem to be having... Don't hear as much about tires in general. Have you heard any comments about, like, wow, I wish they brought... harder or softer tires?
Definitely from Tony Elias. And there's a lot of riders who are wishing for slightly softer or slightly harder compounds. That part of the single tire rule is actually really cool. The fact that everybody's pretty much in the same, has two choices, and that's it.
Right.
You know,
you're not going to be able to please everybody with two choices. They guys have different riding styles. They want different tires.
Yeah, so the thing is, the rider has to adjust, which is not necessarily a bad thing, because then adaptation of the rider is a big part of their skill.
Yes, exactly.
You can't just expect to always ride the same way and have everything tuned and set up just for you, you know?
Right.
Well, I guess you can expect that. It's just, you won't necessarily get it.
Okay, good point. We also had, a bag crash by Pedrosa last year.
From the lead. And, you know, you remember, he's not known as a good rain rider, and he was leading after seven laps. I think he was leading by, 9 seconds from Stoner. So, unbelievable beginning to the race, but unfortunately he went down hard, and that was the beginning of his injury. Well, he's had injuries before, but they just kept coming and coming after that.
Can't seem to fully get healed, and it was certainly the end of any championship hopes for last year, I think. The beginning of the end of that.
Right.
Because also Jorge went down, and
Melandri.
And
Edwards,
Colin.
And Edwards went down. I think it was that the first time he had a non-scoring GP? I think that may have been also the first time.
Yeah, I think it was. Because it was, we definitely talked about it. Yeah. I
think it was around then.
So, well, hopefully it won't rain.
Yeah.
And that'll, you know, remove a lot of those problems. Sachsenring is, it's got that interesting Omega turn.
Yeah.
But it's a, I don't know, it's a bit of an odd track in some ways to me.
It is.
I don't know.
So, you know, Sachsenring gets, most people don't like Sachsenring, including the riders, but I think we've had good races there. One of my favorite races ever was the 2006 Sachsenring race, with the whole Tamada, Kenny Jr., little get together, in the gravel. There was a lot of resurging riders there. Rossi came up from 11th and won the race. It's a track that kind of reminds me of Laguna because it's so tight. There's no real place to open your legs except down that final corner coming down the hill. But yet, there's a lot of passings that can happen. So it's a decent track, I think. And but riders don't seem to like it.
Right, and definitely not one of Rossi's favorites. And it is. It's quite short. It's barely longer than Laguna.
Yep.
But you've got a straightaway, which Laguna really doesn't have much of a straight. You know, the front straight is so short.
Right. This straight is interesting because it comes up a hill, and
exactly
half the straight is in a pretty steep grade. It's a very steep grade,
right? And, not a horsepower hill like in Brno, but still, yes, definitely
actually like that. It's just a lot shorter than that than the Brno hill,
and it's not called horsepower.
I would say it's steeper. I would say it's even steeper.
You think so?
Yeah,
interesting.
Totally.
I'd like to see it in person because, you know, the camera lies. You know, if you haven't been to Laguna, seeing the corkscrew on camera, you have no idea how steep it is that sort of thing. And it definitely does fool you a little bit when you see things like that. So, yeah, it'd be a good one to see. And I haven't played the MotoGP games in such a long time. I mean, Sachsenring was on the last...
Yeah, it's been on a lot of them, and actually, yeah. That's kind of what I'm basing my knowledge on, since I've never been to either Brno or Sachsenring, and it definitely feels that final corner when you go up into the straight is really steep, very very steep.
So
it's not definitely not a racetrack where you're going to see, you know, speed records being broken.
No, not so much.
No, and of course, it's famous for the fact that it's an insanely long left turn, you know, with a couple of rights.
Yeah, so. That's true. Exactly. Yeah, so it's going to be probably going to be bringing out the special tires again.
Yep.
Definitely a track for that sort of a thing. I don't know. I'm looking forward to a good race weekend. We'll see.
Yeah, if Rossi finishes on the podium, he's actually is going to tie Agostini's record.
For points, is he?
For rostrum finishes.
For podiums. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yep. So that could be interesting.
And I think that's actually going to be a fairly safe bet, to be honest with you.
Yes. He may not like it, but he always does well here.
Yeah, exactly. He does quite well at this track, even though it's, you know, not his favorite. Yeah.
I think that there's a chance that Nicky Hayden could do okay on this track. He's done fairly well on it before. I'm thinking Pedrosa, Lorenzo, and Rossi this time around.
In that order, or just on the podium?
What's the weather forecast look like?
I can't find my iPod.
I could see. I mean, you know, Patrice has won here before.
Yes,
and he's coming off of a very strong win. He seems very strong. It is a very similar track to Laguna Seca. It fits him. So yeah, I could see him winning. Yeah. I think I could see Lorenzo making a mistake and losing a chance to either. I don't think he's going to fall off necessarily, but losing a chance to win the race. And it might come down to Rossi chasing Pedrosa and either being able to catch him and then stuff him or just taking second place, or, you know. So I'm thinking it's going to be Pedrosa. It could be Pedrosa, Rossi, Lorenzo, but as always, this is Wednesday night, and we don't even see what the free practice looks like. This is a new year, very different because we've got everybody's on Bridgestones. Last year, half the field was still Michelins.
We don't even know what the weather's supposed to be like.
Yeah,
guessing.
Kind of, yeah, after FE1, things start to get start falling into place much more, and we'll see.
Yeah, good call.
I think Dovi could figure. I think Dovi could finish on the podium if there was a mishap with one of those top four riders. He's been strong here. He was very strong here in the 250s, and he was strong here last year. So that'd be
cool. He's been strong this season. You know, he's been dependable for the most part, and pretty good. So I mean, two no point finishes in a row, not good. But other than that, you know, he's always been doing pretty well. So, yeah, I would expect to see him up there. And a podium is certainly not out of the question.
Yep. Yeah, he's going to be hungry.
Yes, he should be. He needs to, especially after Pedrosa's win, I think, you know, that's got a, you know, the teammate thing going on. It's like, well, geez, I can do that.
Yep.
Sort of an attitude.
But until this point, he's been leading Danny Pedrosa in the championship or catching up and looking like he was gonna take over the fourth spot or fifth spot.
That's right. Yeah, because after fourth, Catalunya, doing the math real quick, he was actually 2 points ahead of Pedrosa. You're right. And and that just shows you what a win can do. You know, I actually think that, not to totally diverge from the topic here,
but the point structure.
What's that? I'm going to, of course. Yeah. The point structure in MotoGP just, I think, works so well, and I really hope they don't start dicking around with it. that, you know, you get a lot of points to win, but that it also is balanced well enough that if you're consistent, you know, that you can still beat, you know, it doesn't boil down necessarily to, you know, he who has the most wins is automatically the champion. You know what I mean? Unless you're talking, you know, crazy Rossi numbers and things where it's like, you know, 9 wins or something like that. You,
right.
know, so you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah,
does that make sense? Yeah.
Totally. Totally.
You get points all the way. You get points for a long way down.
It's a much better,
you know, maybe with 17 riders.
Formula One, for example.
Exactly. Where there's only, what is it, 8 or 10 points on the table at all. And it's just silly. And I think the MotoGP system works much better.
Therefore, I'm sure it's going to get changed.
Exactly. You know, because we're following what Formula One does, and if Formula One gives 10 points a race, then that must be the best way to do it.
Yep.
They could follow the NASCAR thing, and we could get, like, I don't know how many points per race. I mean, they have thousands of points at the end of the season. But let's not do that either, because that makes the math much more difficult. All those big numbers, scary.
Big numbers.
Yeah. Other than that, I don't really have a whole lot that I
I did want to mention that there was a this is pretty old, because we should have mentioned it last show after we came back from Laguna, because we talked a lot about that whole mess that we ended up with in the superbike race for the AMA superbike race.
Uh-huh.
And there's a very interesting article on Soup about that. But the meeting afterwards, where the riders were just basically up in arms about that safety car that got left kind of in front of all the riders when they started, the quote-unquote safety car.
Yes.
And apparently there was a lot of walkouts out of the meeting, including, you know, like Kevin Schwantz and Matt Mladen and a whole bunch of other riders. They just basically were like, Kevin Cameron, and, you know, they just
really
they just turned around and walked out.
Huh. That I'm gonna have to read that article too. I need to catch up on my Soup reading. Yeah, because did they ever say what Nikki Hayden was bitching to the AMA official about when we saw that going on?
No, and I actually didn't see that. You know, the first time I heard of it was when you were talking about it last week, and I just pretended I knew what you were talking about.
Oh, he was, there was a lot of, I mean, he wasn't quite shoving the guy, but it was all but that. There was, you know, arms waving and all of this. And, you know, with no audio, we were sort of throwing in our own audio of, like, you know, what are y'all doing to my brothers? And it's like,
that's awesome.
It must have been good. So. And I was kind of curious what the actual verbiage was all about. I don't know. It was, and the thing is it was a super good race, that AMA that we watched, once it actually got going.
Right. Yeah, it was a good, it was a good one.
It's just such a train wreck to get it going. Everything. It would have been funny if it wasn't sad and you know, depressing.
Poetry. So. Pure poetry, Bob.
You like that?
Yeah, I do.
So, all right. Fairly short call today, Jules.
Good.
You know,
good.
Not sure. Yeah. I'm a little tired here. You know, what the hell?
I am going to go to Indy, I've decided. And So if anybody is going there and wants to meet up or something like that, send an email. Let's do this early rather than later, like we did with Laguna. Because Laguna, we clusterfucked that one. Like, you know.
Hardcore. That was bad.
A couple of days before we actually... The day we left for Laguna is the day we announced it on the show. So, yeah. I'll be there, and it'd be cool to meet, run into some of the people that we met last year and any new people that will be there.
Cool. I do not think I'm going to make it this year. I have another trip planned already in late August and everything, and... frankly, money-wise and time-wise and stuff, it's just not going to be on the calendar this year. But I will be envious of you, and you can send me, you know, photos and all of that sort of stuff.
Cool. Will do. And speaking of which, in these show notes, you'll be including the photos finally from Laguna on my website. They'll be uploaded by Friday.
Good.
So
excellent. Yeah. So now you have a goal, then you must get them completed by Friday.
Exactly.
Yes.
No,
you've given us the small teasers on Facebook where there's like, you know, like, I don't know, 15 photos or whatever per day. And you know, and I know that you took a lot more pictures than that. So,
yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing those. There are some good ones in what you showed up on Facebook, which can people, we discussed this already. They can see them on Facebook if they're not your friend and all of that. I don't know.
But they have to sign up for a Facebook account.
Yeah, you got to have a Facebook account. Yeah, right, right. Yeah. And once you get them on your website, they don't even have to do that. So, right. All righty then. Sounds good.
Okay.
So why don't we call it a night, and we'll talk again next week.
Excellent. Ciao.
Ciao. Okay, like I said, fairly quick call, Jules and I, so that made a fairly short podcast this week. The way things are shaping up, let's see, for the next couple of months, I'm going to have to be stepping back a little bit from the podcast. Jules is going to be jumping in. I will still be involved. It's just I can't do all of this stuff. There's only so much time. And like I said, my email inbox is already filling up with Navy stuff that to some people it's extremely important. And I'm doing this whole transition period with 8 other individuals, and it's a team effort, so I cannot let them down. So part of that is that I have to devote a lot of time to that. I'll keep you guys posted on how things are going. Appreciate you listening, and why don't we go ahead and call this show a wrap before I make more of a train wreck of it. Have a good time watching the Saxon Ring this weekend, and we will talk to you again next week when we talk about what happened at der Saxon Ring. So, all right, for that, keep the shiny side up, the rubber side down, and we'll talk again next week. Oh, geez, got the tape in there backwards here. One more time. MotoGPOD is produced by Bob Hayes, and I'm solely responsible for its content. MotoGP is a trademark of Dorna Sports SL. The MotoGPOD podcast and MotoGPOD.com are not affiliated with Dorna Sports SL. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners, and MotoGPOD is not affiliated with any of them.